It was the fourth accident linked to the musical Winnie, and this one left Mark Spelthorne trapped beneath number 10 Downing Street.
Oh, hang on, Mark. I'm going to crawl in and get you.
The stage set had collapsed on top of Clement Attlee, a.k.a. Mark Spelthorne.
Nobody tried to lift anything.
You must be joking, that thing weighs a ton.
It's also wedged against the wall and I don't want anyone under there if it slips.
Be careful, Jed.
Don't worry. I did a team-building potholing away day with the RSC. I'll be fine.
Nina, the show's director, looked petrified as stage manager Jed took a deep breath and squeezed his bulky frame underneath.
Oh, no.
You all right, Mark?
I can't feel my...
You're what? What can't you feel?
My phone. I can't feel my phone.
It was every actor's nightmare. The younger ones turned ashen. One began to weep at the thought of a broken phone.
Nearly with you, mate.
When the scenery toppled, Mark had simply been in the wrong place at the wrong time. Or, as he was still alive, the wrong place at the right time.
Just breathe slowly.
The thing was, I had definitely seen the set securely roped to the wall a few minutes earlier, so either the knots had undone themselves...
I can see you!
...or someone had untied them.
Grab my hand!
Either way, gravity should have kept the set in place, and it would take an enormous effort to bring the whole lot crashing down.
That's it! I've got you!
During the chaos, I'd forgotten that a moment earlier our star had brazenly stolen my one solo with no resistance from our director. My fury returned.
You okay, Charles?
Kay Walbrook must have noticed my high colour and the vein throbbing in my temple and thought I was about to have a seizure. To date, Chris had stolen a scene from Mark and a solo from me, and if he rewrote much more of the script, award-winning playwright Evie Robb would end up with an additional material credit.
He shouldn't be allowed to get away with it. But he's not the first narcissistic man-baby to throw his weight around. Oh, you look like you need a drink.
Oh, I do, but I better not while I'm on duty.
You're an actor, not a policeman.
So my agent's always telling me.
If you change your mind, I've got a bottle of gin tucked away.
But before I could reply, Jed and Mark slithered out just in time.
Is anyone hurt?
Shocked, flustered, but unharmed, the actor patted himself down, checking all was in order.
I think I'm all right. Thanks to Jed.
The stage manager modestly waved aside the applause and blushed when Nina kissed him.
Right, quarter of an hour while all this is put back up against the wall and securely tethered. No more accidents. From now on, I don't want as much as a paper cut.
Lucky escape, Mark.
Tell me about it.
It was horrible. We all thought you'd been crushed.
There's a tiny
we got through another day's rehearsal without further incident, but this latest in a long line of accidents was bugging me. By the evening, I wanted to think it through, which meant entering my mind palace. Double scotch, please.
I'll get that, and a Cinzano and lemonade for me.
What are you doing here, Morris?
I happen to be passing.
It's not your usual stamping ground.
I have to show my passport to get out of Soho.
When was the last time you went into a pub?
There's a very pretty one in North Hampshire. It does a lovely tweet aux amants.
That's called a restaurant.
Quick, we'll grab that table. I'll tell them where we're sitting.
It's a pub, not the Caprice.
Can I have some crisps?
Toss in a bag of ready salted when you're ready, barkeep.
Well, isn't this cosy?
Fascinating to see you in your natural habitat. Sort of anthropological field trip. A Prost.
Shall I be mother and do pub opening?
Oh, not a phrase my mother ever used. What means pub opening?
You tear the bag fully open and lay it out.
A sort of pound shop silver salver.
Everyone gets fair dibs. Surely you do pub opening in the bar at the Connaught.
I know their bar snacks are more crispy sushi and chipotle mayonnaise with a soya glaze. And at £18 a plate, we pay, as you say, for our own dibs.
Well, Morris, what are you doing here?
Well, I told you, I
happened to be passing. No, you didn't. Why are you here?
All right, Governor. Bang to rights. I heard about the set collapsing and rushed across town to make sure you were still in one piece.
Rushed across town several hours later.
It's the thought that counts. What happened?
You know what happened. A pile of scenery fell onto Mark.
The scenery doesn't just fall, Charles. That Downing Street facade weighs a ton, so how
do you know?
What?
How do you know the Downing Street facade weighs a ton?
It must do.
It does, but I didn't tell you.
You probably mentioned it.
I said scenery fell. I didn't say anything about the Downing Street facade. In fact, how do you even know there is a Downing Street facade?
Well, I must have heard it somewhere.
It didn't make the BBC news.
Twitter?
You don't do social media.
Your glass is empty. Let me get you another.
I will, but not until you tell me what's going on.
On?
Yes, Morris, on. First you mysteriously turn up in a pub, then you have knowledge of a set no one has seen. Something's going on. And you're going to tell me what it is. What? Speak up, Morris.
I invested in the show.
Winnie?
I'm an angel.
You're precisely the opposite. What on earth possessed you?
As a man of the arts, I felt beholden to give something back.
You mean it's a tax dodge?
Will you keep your voice down?
Investing in a musical is a surefire way to lose money. What's the scam?
There is no scam. And when it comes to the Inland Revenue, I'm as honest as the day is long.
A midwinter day in Greenland.
As theatrical gambles go, Winnie ought to be a sound investment. We're living through the most chaotic time since the last war. What better time for a musical, showing how we got through it last time?
Except Winnie is beset by accidents.
Which is why I put you... not put, I got.
No, whoa.
Up. I put you up for it.
You lying, devious, disingenuous...
Now calm down.
Don't tell me to calm down, you snake in the grass. You stuck me in the cast of Winnie to find out what's going on. I'm a plant.
Not any old plant. A rare orchid who can act, sing, dance. You're the triple threat.
I'll triple threat you. I thought I got this job through dint of talent.
There was dint.
No dint.
An element of dint. I merely eased your passage. Oh, no comeback line, no double entendre.
I'm too angry. Not angry. Incensed.
You ought to be pleased. Not only do I respect you as a performer, I also admire your investigative skills. It's like Nina. No, I'd better take it.
I'm getting out of here.
Where are you going?
The Garden of Emphysema. You can bring me a double scotch when you finish.
Two double malts. Nothing but the best for Charles.
Are you having one?
Oh, you're going to need them both.
Now what? Have I been fired?
Did Evie Robb have a dust-up with Chris Watt?
She's not the dust-up type, but she is furious with him for rewriting her script. Why?
She's in hospital.
What?
Hit and run. Some maniac knocked her off her bike.
Oh.
Yet another member of the company has been struck down by the curse of Winnie.
What the hell's going on?
It looks to me like someone's trying to sabotage the show.
Who'd want to sabotage a musical? It seemed crazy. Maybe a relaxing weekend would clear my head. But Francis had other ideas. Having reluctantly agreed to partner Francis at a dance class competition, my semi-detached wife wanted to expose me to different dance styles, and tonight was Irish night. Okay, flamenco night.
Try the potatoes bravas.
I'll swap it for the powder and peppers.
I'm not playing Russian roulette with those things.
It's Spanish roulette and you're a coward.
They're lethal.
Not as lethal as being in the cast of Winnie.
Come off it, Charles. Who sabotages a musical apart from a character in the plot of a musical?
That's what I'm asking myself.
Go on then, Columbo. You got that glint in the eye.
You're mocking.
Oh, listen. I didn't say I wouldn't mock. So, who are the suspects?
Well, let's start with the victims. First of all, a delivery moped ran over Viscount Allenbrook's foot.
Which is how you got into the show.
Moot point.
Why?
Let's skate over it. After that, a rehearsal pianist got injured in a drive-by shooting, which was accident number two. Then Trevor's flying rig malfunctioned and he ended up with a broken leg.
And you got his part.
I hope you're not inferring I did it.
I'm not even implying
it. Once a teacher.
Anyway, even you're not desperate enough to injure an actor just for a part.
You've got to agree it's quite a chain of coincidences.
Or a series of unfortunate and completely unrelated accidents. I need facts, Sherlock. I need evidence.
Ooh, ah! I need beer. That was a hot one.
I told you they're lethal.
Okay. Accident number four. Mark was nearly crushed to death. And now five. Evie's been knocked off her bike.
Right. I'll grant you that statistically speaking, Winnie is a health and safety nightmare. And if I was an insurance underwriter, I wouldn't touch it with a barge pole. But what are the common factors? What links all these accidents together?
Well, apart from the fact that every one of them was involved in the show.
Come on, Charles. Process of elimination. Who's got a motive to hurt any or all of them?
Well, Chris and Mark can't stand the sight of each other, and Chris stole one of Mark's scenes.
Which gives Mark a motive to hurt Chris, but not the other way round.
True. But Chris hates people crossing him.
Maybe, but he's got to work with someone. So unless he's going to perform Winnie as a one-man show, what would be the point of knocking everyone out one by one?
Yeah.
Got it. Morris is playing a double bluff and sabotaging the show in the hope it'll flop as some sort of tax dodge.
I've already accused him of that, but if Morris was trying to sabotage a show he's got money in, why get me to investigate?
Triple bluff?
Even my agent's not that devious.
Which leaves us...
nowhere. Although I like the arse, are we working this case together?
What case? You've drawn a complete blank.
So much for the analytical approach.
Ah!
Light bulb moment?
Ah, no, another hot chili. I need more beer.
Monday morning found us running through a tricky bit of choreography which involved not only ensemble singing, but also tap-shoe military marching and a set change all at the same time. If that wasn't enough, Chris was in one of his moods.
The black dog is snapping at my heels. Storm clouds where'er I turn. Jackboots marching across the newsreels as cities crumble and burn.
Winston, your time has come.
Now is waking up the time for feeling glum.
The wind of change is in your sail.
Until you wish your way.
Whoa. What do you think you're doing?
Sorry.
Never mind, sorry.
Sensing trouble, I looked over at our director, but Nina was trying to avoid another confrontation. Heading for the door, she waved her phone in the air and mimed an unavoidably urgent call. Meanwhile, Abby geared up for the inevitable.
You do know you're right from your left, do you?
I said I'm sorry,
Chris. Yeah, you see, sorry is not really good enough. The audience won't be paying good money for sorry, and you wouldn't have to say sorry if you were concentrating in the first place.
Oh, here we go.
Did you say something, Kay?
I don't think Abby bumped into you on purpose.
I didn't say she bumped into me on purpose.
I'm sure she won't do it next time.
Oh, you're sure, are you? Just to put everyone's mind at ease, Mark's sure, so that's good. Cheers, Mark.
Okay, Chris, I'm just saying...
Yeah, no, seriously, but... it's great to have your input, mate.
Actually, I think it was me.
What's you?
It was my fault, Abby bumping into you. I think it was down to me.
How could her barging into me be your fault?
It's all right, Charles, it wasn't you.
If it was him, I'd say so. But it was you, you clumsy idiot.
All right, Chris.
No, not all right.
I think that's enough.
If you don't mind, Kay, I'll decide when it's enough. Now, look here, whatever your name is.
Abby.
Look at all these people. Most of them were acting before you were a drop of DNA. And here they are, working their arses off to get this show match fit. So here's the thing. Bear with me, because it's a crazy idea. But hey, why don't you get your act together and join us?
I'm...
Abby! A nice one, Chris.
Yeah, well done.
Abby, wait!
Feel good.
What?
I hope you're pleased with yourself.
I didn't hear Mahatma Gandhi come into the room.
Is that how you get your jollies, making young women cry?
She'll get over it.
Well, if she doesn't?
Then she'll stop acting and get a job in PR. It's called natural selection.
Do you know what? You're a dinosaur.
Let it go, Mark.
You're the last of a dying breed.
What, a professional?
A professional bully. The sort of man who gives the rest of us a bad name.
The rest of us? Don't clump me together with you and your snowflake friends.
Yeah, I hope she reports you for harassment.
Oh, hashtag boohoo.
One of these days, you'll get what's coming to you.
Well, if I were you, I'd worry less about me and more about what's coming to you. Or what's not coming to you.
Meaning?
Meaning? After this show, I've got an arena tour and enough telework lined up for the next 2 years. How's your diary now the Willoughby's been axed?
People talk about the colour draining from a person's face, and in the space of 2 seconds, Mark faded from pink to parchment.
Oh, haven't you heard?
It was the moment the bottom fell out of Mark's pension plan. The Willoughby was the hit Sunday night bonnet drama which had projected Mark from obscurity to the cover of GQ.
Bloody TV execs. Sorry to be the bearer of bad news.
Gleefully apologetic, Chris revelled in Mark's humiliation in front of the remaining company.
You grade A bastard! I bet there'd be a B-list. Anyone else walking out?
A smart actor knows their currency, and most of us realise we're one mouse click away from being replaced. But having achieved screw you status, Chris had license to behave badly, while the rest of us were expected to stay stum and suck it up.
Okay, that's it for today. And tomorrow we move into the Windsor.
Yeah.
So see you all at the theatre 4:10.
Right. Okay.
Let's hope his lord and master gets laid tonight.
Why?
Well, might put him in a better mood for tomorrow. Speaking of putting oneself into a better mood, do you fancy...
Oh, right. Look, Kay, that's a really kind offer. And don't get me wrong, we're friends and I'm flattered. But
I was offering to buy you a drink. Did you think?
No.
You did?
No.
I mean, we have got an early start tomorrow, so
yeah.
I might have to kick you out early, but if you do fancy...
No.
Okay.
I mean, you know...
What do I know, Charles?
Well,
you're so easy to wind up.
Why do you do this to me?
Sheer devilment, pure and simple.
There's nothing pure or simple about you, Kay.
Kay!
Yes, Chris.
Look, if you've got a minute, can I have a word?
Yeah, sure. Wish me luck.
I do.
If I'm not in the pub in an hour, call for an ambulance.
You don't think he's violent?
No, but I can't promise I won't be. Order me a G&T, a double.
Night, all.
Night, Charles.
Oh, you're not coming for a drink?
Not tonight.
I reckon you deserve one after today.
Today?
Rescuing Mark.
Oh, that.
That, he says.
All in a day's work for stage management?
When I was an ASM, all in a day's work was making sure the props were in the right place.
Anyway, if anyone deserves a drink, it's Mark. He was looking pretty rough the last time I saw him.
Poor guy's had the day from hell.
Yeah, well, see you tomorrow.
Yeah.
Got a light, bruv?
What? Morris, what are you playing at?
Don't draw attention.
Says the old man in a hoodie, shades and a baseball cap.
I am not old.
And also, don't say bruv, and you're sucking the wrong end of that fag.
What?
What's with all the cloak and dagger stuff?
Walk with me.
Nobody says walk with me outside of Holby City, but if you walk with me as far as the coach and horses, you can buy me a drink.
And a large G&T for your friend.
She'll be here soon.
Shall I do pub opening?
Absolutely.
So... what's the lowdown?
What?
The goss, the bants, the dirt, the juice, the word on the street.
What do you do when you're not going through a slang thesaurus?
I hear Mark blew up at Chris.
Not unprovoked.
I warned the producers Chris Watt was trouble, but they wanted his name on the bill, and all credit, tickets are flying.
Let's just hope we can get to opening night without any more accidents or injuries.
Well, that was weird.
Oh, Kate, this is my agent, Morris. Morris, this is Kate.
I know exactly who you are. I saw you in Love for Love, and you were the wittiest, naughtiest Angelica I've seen in a long time.
What a charmer.
Isn't it?
This is for you. Charles had a large G&T, ice and a slice.
Why doesn't my agent do this for me?
My door is always open if you fancy an informal chat.
Am I being poached?
I'd never poach another agent's clients.
What was weird, Kay?
Hmm?
You said something was weird.
Oh, yes. You're not Chris Watt's agent, are you?
Oh, no. You can speak freely in front of me.
Okay.
Nothing you say will get back to the producers of the show.
Okay.
Pretend I'm not here.
Okay.
The invisible man.
Shut up, Morris. Carry on, Kay.
When I got up to the green room, Chris locked the door.
Oh, Lord!
Oh, no, it's nothing like that. He just wanted to know if I was angry with him. And I thought, well, I can be polite in English and say, no, Chris, or I can be grown up and tell him the truth. So I said... to be honest, Chris, yes, I am angry with you because, frankly, you've behaved appallingly today.
Just today?
Now you ask. No, your behaviour's been deplorable since we started.
Okay.
We're all working hard and we're all under pressure. And to be honest, you throwing tantrums like an overgrown baby isn't going to make things any better. In fact, it just sours the atmosphere and makes things 100,000 times worse.
Yeah, you're right. I'm sorry. The thing is, I've got anger management issues. I'm aware of it and I'm dealing with it through therapy, but can I ask you something?
Sure.
If you see me going off on one, let me know.
Let you know?
Yeah, shoot me a look or call me out. Then I can take a moment to, you know, work through it, process it. Would that be all right? Would you do that for me?
If it would help.
Oh, it would. It really would.
Okay, Chris.
You're right. Weird.
Isn't he?
Chris Watt apologised.
I know.
Issues.
What?
One of the most overused words of our time, along with genius, stress, zeitgeist and iconic.
Is he all right?
Something I've been asking myself for years.
I really hope that's food or else someone's in dire need of a shower.
It's my new signature dish.
Oh.
Goody.
Pilchard Wellington.
Do you use a real Wellington?
Now you're being silly.
Said the man who's just put tinned fish on croute.
Think of it as a Cornish fisherman's pasty. Good solid fare to stoke a fellow up.
Do you need stoking?
We're moving into the theatre tomorrow. I need all the strength I can get.
Is that why you're playing Betty Goodman? Getting into the swing time zone?
I'm starting to see why my parents loved this stuff.
Come on then, show me what you've got.
I assume you mean dance moves.
I hope you're not reneging.
I never renege.
Only you're down as my partner for the Strictly Seniors competition, so we need to practice as much as we...
Sorry, did you say Strictly Seniors?
That's just the name of the
Strictly
class.
Seniors.
They're not old codgers.
They're seniors.
As opposed to juniors. You can't pretend you're a kid anymore.
I'm not a senior.
Most of the people in the class are younger than you.
Is that supposed to make me feel better?
Put down that spatula, Charles.
That's an early Pink Floyd album.
Never mind Floyd. Give me your phone. Uh-huh. I've got just the song for us. Let's go.
My God. What were they on in the 40s? The Windsor was an 800-seat West End Edwardian jewel box, which had been dark for a few months, so we were able to move in early.
Heads, people. Lighting bar coming down.
It also had a reputation as one of those theatres that closes shows early. But our hard-headed producers spurned superstition and seized the opportunity to hire the place at a discount.
Hang on. Come in.
Whiskey.
Aftershave. It's got peaty bass notes and top notes of oud and sandal.
Scotch?
Did you want something?
Just a snoop around your dressing room.
Help yourself. It's a bit pokey.
At least it's not on street level. Chris is already complaining to stage management about his.
That's what the shouting is.
Poor Jed's playing the diplomat and getting it in the neck.
Surely Chris has got the number one dressing room.
Well, he has, but one of his riders was a foot spa and it hasn't arrived.
He can have mine.
You've got a foot spa?
I don't even know what a foot spa is. You said Chris asked you to tell him when he's overstepped the mark.
Do you think he meant it?
There's only one way to find out.
OK, but if it goes badly, I'll be back for whiskey.
What whiskey?
Oh, you really are a very good actor.
No, thanks, but I'm not...
Don't worry. If Chris gives me a hard time, I've got my own bottle tucked away.
As the shouting had stopped, I assumed Kay's anger management talk went well. And I didn't see Kay again till she and Chris were blocking a scene in the Rose Garden at Chartwell.
The people expect so much from me.
Because they believe in you, as I believe in you, and as you believe in yourself. Ow.
Are you all right, Kay?
Yeah, sorry, just a twinge. Sorry, Chris.
From the same place, Nina?
Yeah, if you would, and just take a few steps further upstage before you speak. You're a bit early, and the crew need time to move the cabinet war rooms.
Well, about here.
Yeah, perfect. When you're ready, Jonathan.
The people expect so much from me.
Because they believe in you, as I believe in you, and as you believe in yourself.
I don't think you understand the pressure I'm under, Clemmy.
I may not understand the pressure, Winston, but I do understand the man I married. Oh!
Okay.
Well, now?
I've got to go.
We're working.
Go where?
The loo.
What, now?
Yes, now. Oh, out of the way.
Unbelievable. Is there anyone in this show who actually wants to work?
Struck down with a violent stomach bug, Kay was sent home in a taxi while her beleaguered understudy blocked the scene with Chris, who snapped at her every mistake. As I wasn't needed, I took an early lunch and was tempted to have a crafty pint when I spotted Mark slipping into a cafe.
Well, this all looks very green and healthy.
Oh, hi, Charles.
Mind if I join you?
Well, please.
What have you got there?
Kale and bean salad.
I went for the beet and seed burger.
You also vegan?
Well, no, not exactly. I mean, I haven't gone the whole hog. Not hog, obviously. I dabble. I'm an aspiring vegan dabbler.
More vegan than vegan.
Quite.
It's definitely the future.
Dabbling?
Veganism.
So they say.
Whatever future there is.
Is it Brexit?
It's everything.
Well, things aren't that bad.
You think?
One of the good things about getting older is you've seen things come and go again. Good times, bad times, highs, lows, it's cyclical. At the moment, we just happen to be on a low point in the cycle.
Maybe.
Definitely. This burger's not half bad.
I hope you're right.
I am, it's delicious.
No, I mean about things being cyclical.
Oh, I'm definitely right about that.
I think I've just come crashing off my cycle.
Is it the Willoughby?
I've had the official call. It was an expensive show, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Viewing figures have dropped, blah, blah, blah. So they've decided it's reached the end of its life.
It's better to go out on a high.
Yeah, but I thought, you know, one more series.
What about the old Hollywood thing?
Fell through. It's like I'm on a downward trajectory.
The upside of ambition is drive. The downside is bitter disappointment. I'd long ago made peace with myself and decided to enjoy whatever came my way. Well, at least pretend to enjoy it.
And that bastard, Chris, humiliated me in front of everyone.
It was a cheap shot.
He poisons everything he touches. I tell you, one of these days...
Mark tailed off, fist clenched, white-knuckled around a bamboo spork as he gazed down at his kale and bean salad with red-blooded vegan fury.
Like you said, it's cyclical. If there's such a thing as karma, let's hope it comes back round and bites Chris what where it hurts.
I still had no motives to explain all the accidents and injuries, but if anything happened to Chris, Mark would be top of my list of suspects.
Do you want anything else?
No, I've just remembered something I need to do. I'm sorry to leave you.
Oh, that's all right. I'll have a decaf oat milk cappuccino before the Potsdam routine.
At the door, I looked back at Mark ordering a disappointing coffee. He was hunched, round-shouldered with dejection. High diddly-dee, I thought. An actor's life for me. I wasn't needed for the Potsdam conference dance routine, and something Mark had said was bugging me, so I wanted to have a quiet snoop around backstage while I could. In her rush, Kay had left a door unlocked.
Right. Where does she keep it? Back of the drawer inside a pair of slipper boots. Not that difficult, Kay.
It was a standard-sized bottle and three-quarters full, which told me that Kay was a dilettante drinker. Held up to the light, the contents looked fine.
Gin. And something. Peculiar aftertaste. But what?
Whatever it was, I didn't want Kay drinking any more of it. Hoping to discern the flavour at my leisure, I concealed the bottle under my jacket and quietly sneaked out.
Bloody Charles! Where have you come from?
Sorry, Chad. World of my own.
You haven't seen Mark, have you?
We had a rather joyless lunch together.
But since then?
No, I'm not in the Potsdam scene. Why?
He hasn't turned up.
Odd.
I know. I've searched high and low. Can't find him anywhere. His phone's turned off. His agent doesn't know where he is. I hoped you might have seen him.
He was a bit low, but I put that down to the food.
I hope nothing's happened.
He's a vegan. They live forever.
Yeah? Well, this one's gone missing.
I was trying to make light of it, but it was unlike Mark to go AWOL. Back in my dressing room, I took another cautious sip from Kay's bottle.
Liquid paraffin.
If Kay had drunk enough gin, the presence of a laxative explained her sudden departure. But what about healthy, clean-living Mark? Now, my own gut told me something was wrong, and I was praying it was just the beaten seed burger.
In episode 3 of Charles Paris, Charles was played by Bill Nye, Francis by Suzanne Burden, and Morris by John Glover. Chris Watt was Nigel Lindsay, Nina Lamb, Claire Corbett, Kay Walbrook, Carolyn Pickles. Jed, Ronnie Duty, Mark Spelthorne, Christopher Harper, and Abby, Sarah Ovens. Music was written and performed by Neil Brand. Star Trap was written by Jeremy Front and based on the novel by Simon Brett. The director was Mary Peat, and the producer was Sally Avens.